Well, what should we think about in regards to the resurrection? That was my question, because today's Easter, and we want to appreciate that Jesus not only died, but came back to life after that, right? That's the full gospel, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's turn there and read some verses, and then we're going to read in 1 Peter after that. So turn in to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3, where Paul is telling the Corinthians, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. So we have Paul saying that Jesus rose from the dead. Peter was one of the witnesses. He's the one that ran to the tomb after the women told Mary Magdalene, told the disciples that Jesus had risen. And so Peter, we'll start from verse 1 here. This is his introduction to believers, and listen how the resurrection of Jesus makes its way into it. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So if I could title what I'd like to share with you about the resurrection today, I would call it a living hope. Being born again to a living hope. Look at that phrase again in your Bible. If it means something to you, then you can underline it or highlight it. But being born again to a living hope. This is something that Peter felt he wanted to say, that God should be blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was appreciative that Jesus had risen from the dead. Despite ups and downs that we all go through in life, every believer has that living hope in Jesus Christ. My grandfather was a good man, and I appreciated him a lot more than I realized at the time. And some things I appreciated about him was that he was a man of conviction. He was admirable in a lot of ways, but I appreciated his conviction. And when Grandpa said this is how it was going to be, nobody argued. It wasn't that he was trying to get his way, but when he said something, he had a way of being convincing. And you could tell he had his mind made up, and I admired that. He was also a people person, and I liked that as a kid, of course. He would play with us kids, but I also, as I got older, I realized how many people he had influenced and how many other people said, "Oh, your dad is, or your grandpa's Audine. Is that your grandpa?" And so I realized as I got older that he was a people person and had Bible studies with guys. There was in Wausau these guys that had a window and door company, and my grandpa wasn't a flashy guy. He had his own business, but he got to know people through contacts here and there, and I see that happening in our fellowship too. We just get to know people through work or whatever, and you talk to them about the Lord, and not afraid to do that, definitely not afraid to talk to people about Jesus, and to get a little deeper and to to ask people questions. One of the questions my grandpa used to say was, tell me, and I always thought this was a little awkward, but he would say to somebody, tell me how I can get saved. But what he was trying to draw out from them was to see if they understood salvation. Because it's easy to chit-chat about God and things, and that too I see in this fellowship is I hear people sharing with one another and just brainstorming almost, how can we get below the surface and talk to people about things that really matter? Life, death, sin, salvation, belief. Belief in what? What is it that makes a difference? What is it that makes somebody saved and born again? And so these are good things. And I saw, I admired the man, my grandfather, and he was active in the church. And part of who I am today is because of watching his example. And he didn't get saved young in life. He served in World War II and went through World War II unsaved and got a Purple Heart for having shrapnel hit him. And that was in the Pacific Islands, and he was taken out of service, and then the war was over. And so when he came back to the U.S., he got saved and lived for the Lord after that. So everybody has a different story to their life, but there are some things that we all experience. And so I watched my grandfather in his 80s become gradually more frail. And so he started to gradually decline, and then I visited him one day in the hospital and saw, I hadn't seen anybody that close to death before, but I saw his body struggling to breathe and ready to shut down. And so death came for him and he passed away. And I can remember walking or just being in the car in the parking lot of the hospital and being broken about it, but because you lost somebody you love, right? Raise your hand if you've lost somebody that you love, or if you've lost somebody close to you. I haven't had that happen a lot, but my grandfather was one of those, the first of a few, and then my grandmother, and you all have loved ones that you've lost. But I would share with you one thing that has changed my perspective ever since that time, as I sat there brokenhearted over thinking, process through, I'm never going to see them again, is what goes through your mind. And then scriptures come to mind. But one of the things that that I realized that day that changed my perspective since, and how I look at people and how I appreciate people, is that when my grandpa left Earth, the world had lost a good man too. And that really bothered me. And I wasn't expecting to be thinking that way, but I was also sad that just this world is without a really good man. We need good people, don't we? We need good people around us in the church. We need good people in society. And so I, that just made me, what I'm trying to say is that that experience actually made me think about scriptures more seriously, that about how I am going to see him again someday, because he was a believer, and I was too. And so I was able to have, I was comforted. And I think that is where the New Testament scriptures that teach us about the rapture, or the catching up, where in an undividable span of time, so small, the Lord will, faster than that even sound that made, will take the dead in Christ and they will rise up. And then those who are still alive, who are believers, will be with them in the air. and they will have a resurrection. And those things comforted me, not only in from losing somebody I loved, but also to know that people that we lose who trust in the Lord will also have a bright future as well. And so Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And that is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This type of topic is, well, I would like us to look at John 11 and read through some of this passage. So please turn to John chapter 11, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Lazarus was a good man too. Jesus loved him. And he loved Mary and Martha too. So let's look at how my goal in us going through John chapter 11 here is to see how the Lord Jesus himself, who hadn't died yet, but had been telling his disciples that he was going to die, that he was going to be buried and be raised from the dead on the third day, and how he looked at somebody that he lost and that others, Mary and Martha in particular, had lost. They had lost their brother who they loved, and he was a good man. And how Jesus, before he even raised from the dead, how he helped them work through that and worked through it himself. So we'll read from verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' But when he heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death. This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then, after this, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going to go there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are not there 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' This he said, and after he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep.' The disciples then said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also, so that we may die with him.' So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days." I'm going to skip down to verse 20 here. I want to hit the most important points here. So Martha comes and meets him before he reaches the tomb and reaches Mary. Martha said when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Remember that comment, because Mary's going to say the exact same thing to Jesus later. And then Martha goes on to say in verse 22, "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." I want to just pause there and marvel at Martha's response to the words the Lord spoke to her. Can you expect anything better from Martha? It was well known that Jesus would heal people, but as far as Martha was concerned, the Lord had not come in time to save her brother. And he died. And he had already been buried. And he was already in the tomb by the time this conversation was happening. And meanwhile, Jesus' disciples are less than on track with what's going on, confused and not with him. But when Jesus was referring to Lazarus as being asleep, you can see how the Lord views death. It's easy for Jesus to raise someone from the dead as it is to wake them up from sleep. That's how easy it is, and that's how inherently powerful Jesus is. That's how powerful he is and how much authority he has. In fact, he spoke of himself in John saying that nobody takes his life from him. He's laying it down on his own initiative, and it's on his own initiative that he's going to take it up again. But Martha wasn't expecting Jesus to raise her brother from the dead. And she knew that she would see him again one day. And that's the same comfort I had when I referred to you before. And when we lose a loved one and they trust in the Lord, we will see them again. And we can trust God to do right by them. Now I want to fast forward then to... I'm actually going to skip to verse 32. "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled." Why would Jesus be troubled when he is literally planning to raise Lazarus from the dead? It's a good question to ask. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" I think that's a good question too. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. So I'll just narrate that they took the stone away. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he did. And he had all of his burial clothes on. And fast forward a chapter, and Mary anoints his feet with a costly perfume, and Lazarus is sitting at the table there again with him. So he was raised from the dead, and that event seemed to trigger the Jewish leaders to really want to put Jesus to death. And they were also thinking about putting Lazarus to death. So the greatest miracle of all, raising someone from the dead, was not enough to convince an unbeliever who is dead set on not surrendering to the Lord. But as believers, what I wanted to focus on here is that the Lord Jesus was right there with Mary and Martha in their grief and in their sorrow, and he went through that with them because he loved Lazarus as well. And then he went on to to fulfill his own mission and die and be crucified and come back to life. And so Jesus was not stopped from being there for his people, even by his own death. And he fulfilled what he said as being the resurrection and the life. Turn to Hebrews. That's all I have to share from John 11. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 7. As far as a good person leaving the world, and now we don't have that person anymore, that was a problem that the Jews, that Israel and the Jewish people had with priests. There were good priests and bad priests. And if you think about having a term in an office or something, and there's a few years, that's not as great if you have the best leader ever in office, because their term will come to an end. But if you have a really bad leader, there were definitely bad priests. It's kind of nice that the term has an end point, right? Well, if you look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, the context here is about how the priesthood of Moses, those priests would only, there was so many of them, because over time, if you were to write down the names of all the priests who ever served in Israel, you have a big, huge list. But if you look at the priesthood of Melchizedek, you have one priest, and that is Jesus, that lasts forever. And so that's one way that the priesthood of Jesus as our great high priest in Christianity is better than the priesthood of following Judaism. But here's where we see that Jesus' life and going through death, raising from the dead, is an advantage for us. So I'll start reading in Hebrews 7, verse 23. And not only an advantage to us, but a comfort and an encouragement to us as we go through the ups and downs in life. The former priests, on one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing, and then continuing in their service. Verse 24 says, but Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus is always living, and he is making intercession. That's the priest's job, is to intercede for the people. When the people have a need, sin, and need that to be made right between them and God, they need the priest. And for us, Jesus is that great high priest. And so as he lives forever, going through death, not being stopped from his service, interceding for us, Jesus is our great high priest that way. Think about from a king perspective. David was probably the best king Israel ever saw in the Old Testament. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. David was a great king. He was thoroughly blessed by God, and he had great faith in God, and he had a heart for God, and he led God's people. In Acts 13, we have here a message from Paul in a synagogue. They are speaking in a synagogue to people of Israel, and so they're talking about some Jewish history, but we get to verse 36. Oh no, excuse me. That's the end of it. Verse 34. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, which is talking about God raising up Jesus, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. So just like the priests, David also went through the same natural process. His life came to an end. Verse 37, "But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that although that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." So what we really need is not an amazing leader. We need the Lord Jesus to be in power as the King, and we need Jesus to be in office as our great high priest. And we have it. And blessed be God for that, right? Because our sins are forgiven. Jesus is he died for them once for all. He's not going to go back and have to do any cleanup work with our sins. They're taken care of. And so, in terms of walking with God, we get to enjoy that with his through his resurrection as well. Turn to Romans chapter 6. This will be my final point here, and then I'll sit down. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Romans chapter 6, the big question is, so if God has forgiven our sins and we're saved by grace, why not just sin all the more because the grace will keep coming, right? The answer is no, and that's because a change has happened in every true believer who has seen that Jesus died personally for my sins and raised from the dead and gave and is raised in power never to die again, exalted at God's right hand. That man will help me also and take me to heaven when I die. Or if he comes before that, then I'll be part of the rapture. But that is the type of confidence we can have in our lives. And and that's because he had to go through death first and finish that work. And so when I started just talking about my grandfather, I think I took comfort knowing that the Lord Jesus is faithful to keep promises to us, to care for those who we love who have passed away. And when Jesus came out of his grave, he defeated death once and for all and reminded us that even after this life is not what it's all about. This, when we're in heaven, this life will seem like a dream. And that's when we'll start living forever, is when we have new bodies with him in heaven, and Jesus will still have those wounds on his hands and on his side. He'll still have the marks. So that's the conclusion of my thoughts. If anyone else has a thought about the resurrection that pertains or doesn't, a brief thought, you may, you're welcome to share it. Otherwise, I'll sit down and perhaps a brother could close in prayer after we're done with additional comments, if any. Otherwise, I'll close in prayer. Thank you. start this morning earlier, some of us, so it would not be the crime of the century to end 5 minutes early. So perhaps I'll just pray. Father, thank you for this day that we can come together and have a risen Savior, a person who, he took on flesh and blood and came directly from you, and that he's in heaven now as an advocate for us. Thank you for raising him from the dead and for raising us up with him. I pray that we would walk in light of this and be always remembering that we have an advocate with you, Jesus Christ, and that this would be a message that we just, that becomes more and more dear to us and evident in our lives as we walk with him as a testimony to the lost who do not have the living hope that we have, who are believers in him. So just make these truths profitable to us, meaningful to us, and please may we be more and more like Jesus Christ until the day we are called up to be with him forever. So it's in his name we give you thanks for salvation, and pray also that you bless the Sunday school class. Pray all this in Jesus' name.